Okay, we're at the bottom of Ches Amud Aleph, 8a, four lines from the bottom. The first wide line. We're just a little cleanup to the end of the sugya. We basically finished the last sugya, but there's two, three lines of cleanup. So let's just quickly summarize that sugya, and then we'll just finish up this claim, and then move on perhaps to two short sugyas today. The sugya we're dealing with, sugya 19, was when must the money for kiddushin be given? And Rabbi Elazar made a statement, if a man says, be mekadesh to me with 100 dinarim, and then he gave her 1 dinar, he says she is mekudeshes, because we assume that this was an unconditional type of kiddushin. Oh, I didn't put the thing up yet. That's not good. That's not good at all. Okay, that was the sugya. He says, I'm a kaddish with 100 dinar. He hands her one. Rabbi Lo says, it's mekudeshes. And the reason is, because really what he was saying is, I'm a kaddish you on the condition that I give you 100. So as long as he gives her the rest, everything's fine. And they brought a supportive statement of that. But then they asked a question from a brisa that said, if one said to be mekadesh with 100 dinarim, and he was counting out the money as he put it in her hand, he or she may retract until the last dinar is given. So that was a question on him. And the Gemara gave an answer to it and asked a question on the answer, because the seifa, I don't want to go back over everything again, and then we brought the seifa of that brisa as well, on point 7. In the seifa it says, be married to you with these 100 dinarim, number 8, says if one said, be mekudesh me with 100 dinarim, and they were found to be only 99, or one of them was copper, she is not mekudeshes. If one of them was a bad dinar, she is mekudeshes, and he must exchange it for a proper dinar. Anyway, the Gemara resolved the question and said it's not a proof, and maybe the original statement of Rabbi Elazar lasts. And that's really the resolutions that we go with. If you see, there's a machlokes. Rabbi Elazar says, if a man said, be mekudesh me with 100 dinarim, and he gave her 1 dinar, she is mekudeshes, and he must give the rest. That's Rabbi Elazar's opinion. The Gemara asks questions on it. He answers it. So we can't say we're totally resolved as to what the halacha is, but we know that Rabbi Elazar's opinion, he was not refuted from a brisa. But based on his answers, we also know some other things from the brisas. And Rabbi Elazar would agree to these statements. If one said, be mekudesh me with these 100 dinarim, and he was counting out the money as he put it in her hand, he or she may retract until the last dinar is given. That's a brisa, which is also agreed to. But the Gemara is unresolved because of the machlokes. If one said, be mekadesh me with 100 dinarim, and he's counting out the money as he put in her hand, if he or she may retract until the last dinar is given, it's unresolved on that aspect. In other words, that is the halacha of Rabbi Elazar. Okay? Or if he's counting it out. That is... So there's three cases. He says, be mekadesh me with 100 dinarim, and he gave her 1. That Rabbi Elazar says is good. The brisa says, he says, with these 100 dinarim. These, not 100, but these, which maybe means all these, and he's counting it out. They can still back out, because he didn't give all of these yet. It doesn't seem to be a condition. But the unresolved, he says, be mekadesh me with 100. With 100, and he's counting out the money, he's keeping going, not just gave her 1, but counting out. That's the in-between 1 and 2 scenario. Number 1, it says, you guys with 100 dinarim, and here's 1. Finished. So Rabbi Elazar says, that's a conditional 1. So if he fulfills the condition, everything's fine. Number 2 is, you guys with these 100 dinarim. Well, when you say these, it means I have to give all 100. Until I give 100, it doesn't work. Rabbi Elazar will agree to that too. But what about the in-between stage? Where he says, be mekadesh with 100 dinarim, he doesn't give her 1, he starts counting it out. So then already, we're not resolved in that situation. Anyway, the point I want to get to is a little detail of the safe of the brisa. Again, if one said, be mekadesh me with these 100 dinarim, and they were found to be only 99, he counts it out, it's only 99. Or let's say it's 100, but one of them was copper and not silver. That's not what he promised. So that's not a kiddushin. Because he said these 100, and it's not 100. Then the second point is, or what if one of them's a bad dinar? It's a dinar. It's a silver, but it's not such a good one. May not have the full value. It is a kedushin, but he's got to exchange and give her a better one. So these two last little points is what the Gemara is dealing with. It's a little cleanup work over here. The Gemara just asks just a general question of understanding the brisa. So now this let's make it a little bigger. Such a long line. Okay. Hi, Diner Shel Nechoshes. The Brisa is singing about when he gives the copper coin. We say it's not a good Kiddushin. So Gemara wants to know what is exactly the case. What's going on? Or she is taking them. Hey, Chidami, what's the case? Did she know it was copper or not? The guy says, I'm going to give you 100 silver dinar. Now, he gives her a copper one. What's she doing taking it? She should have said, hey, this isn't a silver one. So how did the case happen? How did the case happen? I'm a kashu with 100 dinar. He's counting it out. We found that one of them's copper. It's not a good kedushin. What do you mean we find out? She should have stopped him dead in his tracks. That's what I was going to ask. What's going on? If she knew it was copper, and she still took it, hasavra the kibla. She must have considered the fact that one of them was a lesser value was, you know, so, and she accepted it anyway. If she took it, she didn't say anything. So I guess it's okay. It's okay. So what's going on over here? You know, either you say, hey, it's a good one. So he says, no, we're speaking in a case where she couldn't have known. Lo tzricha, the other limit, he gave it to her at night. It was dark. He's just giving her 100 silver coins. And at dark, in the night, you can't tell if it's silver or copper. Only after she comes home and says, hey, one of them's not silver. That's why it's not a good kedushin. Or, Inami, give you another possible scenario. She found the copper with the rest of the coins when she examined them. In other words, he gave it all like in one shot, and she didn't notice it till later. Okay, it's just a technical point. Now the last case, it says, what if he gave her one of the dinars was a bad dinar? It's silver, but it's not such a good one. So Gemara asks, hi, dinar ra, hechidami, what's the case of a bad dinar? What does that mean? I mean, either it works or it doesn't work. If it doesn't work, it's not a good kedushin. If it does work, it is a good kedushin. So what are you telling me? If it's a bad dinar, so what kind of bad, how bad is it? That's what I was going to ask. Either enough, if it can't be spent, if it's not legal tender, you know, sometimes you're get a quarter, it's smashed into, you know, it's cracked in place. When does a coin get to the point where it's no good anymore, where the bank won't take it? So it's going to be a bad dinar. If it's really bad, no one's going to accept it, then that's hainu dinar shel nechosh. It's no better than a copper coin, which is no good.
Or one short.
And if it does work, then it works. So Amar of Papa, Rav Papa says, you know what? It's in between stage. It'll be accepted with difficulty. In other words, some people take it, some people don't take it. You go to this guy, he says, I don't want such a coin. Another guy says, okay, I'll take the coin. It's not like it's so bad that nobody would take it. It's not that it's very little bad that everybody would take it. It's kind of in between. So the in-between scenario, say, listen, it's close enough that it's a good kedushin, but just replace it to make sure it's the way it should be. Okay, that was the little details. We're done with that. Okay, now we're moving on to a new...
So, sorry, it's one question.
Yeah.
Why can't he then replace the copper coin?
Because he did not fulfill the obligation. He said he did not fulfill the obligation. He said these coins. So these, they got to be 100 dinars. These. He didn't say, I'll give you 100 dinars. The safest thing was, I will give you these dinars. And here are these dinars. And these are not 100. Another one is not these.
But if amongst these is one that is defective, he can replace it.
Defective, it's still a dinar. It's still called a dinar, and it's sort of okay. You know, when I say to you, I'm marrying you with these 100 dinars. So there's got to be 100 dinars here. If it's copper, that ain't a dinar.
The woman could say it's fine.
You'd have to do it. You have to do it again. Or she'd have to be saying it at this time. I'm Moichalam, but we're not talking about any Mechila. We're talking about... What, he cannot replace it with the one, because he said these. If he said I'm Makashu with 100, then it could be any 100. But if it's these 100, then it's gotta be what's here. If one of them's no good, well, you can go back and she'll say, okay, give me another, we'll do it again. That's all. But we're saying, you know, according to the literal halacha, these 100, she takes the 100 and then it's mezana with another man. We kill her or not. That's where push comes to shove. And she needs a good defense attorney. Defense attorney says, well, in these, there wasn't 100. Of course, everybody's happy in this. And I said, listen, dear, you gave me one rump. Let's do the whole thing again. Well, I'll tell you what. Say Big Makashi with 99. We'll do it again. I'll give it back to you. Know. Yeah. We're talking about the literal point. So it's with these. With these, if it's a bad dinar, it's still a dinar. And as long as it works somewhere, that's good enough. But let's just fix it up and replace that dinar, because he ultimately did give her a dinar.
The defective one started as silver, and the copper one was never silver. So
okay, that's also true. Okay.
But why were they implying? Sorry. But why were they implying?
Trying to get on to the next sugya. You guys are holding me back here.
But why were they implying that if she didn't, if she noticed that he was one or two short, and she didn't say anything, then it's
I mean, okay. She's accepting it. She's saying,
yes, but it's still not what he promised.
But she's willing to forego it. She's being moichel on it. Yeah. She's being moichel on it. It's a different story. Okay, now we're moving on to a different sugya, and the name of the sugya, number 20, is going to be called, Can a Security Be Given in the Place of Kiddushin Money? Now, a security, normally, if I lend money to somebody, and I want to make sure I get my money, so I say, will you give me a security for collateral? And now I'm holding on to a security. Okay, well, there'll be all kinds of cases of security, we'll see. Now, anyway, what if you give a woman a security for a kiddushin money? Will that work? But there's more than one type of case of security, as we'll see in a minute. We're going to see there's two types of cases of security. So let's see what's going on over here. On the bottom line now, Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman. Rava says, in the name of Rav Nachman, Amar La, if he says to a woman, Hiskat Shali Bimana, be married to me with 100 dinar. But he ain't got 100 dinar on him. He doesn't have it. He says, I want to marry you for 100. We're discussing, okay, how much do I have to give you? You're going to be happy. He says, I want 100 mana. He says, okay, here, marry me with 100 mana. But he doesn't have the 100 mana. So what does he do? What does he give her? V'hiniach lo mashkin aleha. So he gives her a collateral for that 100. He says, I haven't got it now. I've an item here that's worth 100. Now 100 dinar. He said 100 dinar, not something worth 100 dinar. He said, marry me with 100 dinar. I ain't got it now, but I'm giving you a collateral of something worth my gold watch that's worth 100 dinar. And here's the gold watch as the 100 dinar collateral. And let's be married with that.
Let's say it's appraised.
It's appraised, and we know it's worth 500 dinars, so it's for sure a good collateral. Is it a kiddushin or not? What do you say without going ahead?
Does she agree to that?
She takes it, but that doesn't matter. If I say, get married, you know, she's saying, I guess I could take a collateral. But he is said, but she wants the 100. She wants the 100. And he's giving her the collateral right now instead. Are they married now or not? So on the one hand, you'd say, well, they can't be married because he never gave her the 100 dinar. On the other hand, you'll say, wait a minute, I'm giving a collateral, well, condition. You don't have to do anything. Just wait for the condition to be fulfilled. But there's a collateral. Isn't the collateral obligating him to a certain extent to give? This is the discussion. So Rav Nachman says, it's not a good kiddush. And of course, the question is going to be, why? Doesn't she have a collateral? Does she have something? Remember, what happens with the collateral? What normally happens with collateral?
He gives the money back.
All right, let's see what's going on here. This is going to be a little tricky, guys. The logic here is a little tricky. The commentaries have a lot of trouble here. Okay, let's just wait a minute.
What is the word mana? Is that
it's 100 dinar. Okay, and now they say why. Mana ein kan, mashkon ein kan. Now the first clause is easy to understand, the second one's very difficult. Mana ein kan, there's no mana over here. She ain't got no mana. Now we gotta understand what does Gomer mean, and mashkon ein kan. There's no collateral here, let's add the words, for her to keep. For to keep. Okay, let's think about it. What if he never pays her the 100? What happens?
Doesn't she keep watch?
She keeps the watch. What did he say? What was he going to get married to her for?
100 dinar.
100 dinar, not the watch. Right? So therefore, it's so that so he's saying, although he said, well, look, the kiddushin is thus not valid, for she has not yet received the sum that has been promised to her. So all she has is a collateral. Now, although he said he was betrothing her with a mana, he never actually gave her this money yet. Right? He didn't give it to her. Furthermore, the item which he left for her cannot substitute for these funds, since it was not given to her as a gift, but merely as a security. That is, she was not given this item to keep. The kiddushin is therefore invalid, for the woman has not yet received the money which was promised her for the kiddushin. Now, if he eventually gives her the 100, then that's okay. But what if he never gives her the 100?
So she, okay. she keeps the watch.
So she won't get killed.
That's correct. That's correct, exactly. In other words, you could say, because he did not say, did he say, I want to marry you with this collateral? He said, I want to marry you when I'm going to give you 100 mana. Now, so now she could say, you know, listen, there's a lot of gigolos have been coming to me promising me all this money, and I'm not going to fall for this one. You know, let's say these smart guys, you know, he goes over to 7 girls and, you know, gives them all, you know, one gets a watch, one gets, they don't decide, you know, eventually who he wants. He wants to hold the women as it is, right? Whatever, play his field. So he says, I'm going to give you the 100, and here's a collateral. Okay, so, you know, what does the woman have over? Where's the 100? Or better yet, why give me this as a collateral? Just give me the watch. Right? Whatever it is. But the point being, so she says, okay, I'll hold the collateral. She's holding collateral, but says, I ain't married to you, Buster, because I'm waiting for that 100 dinars. Okay, now what happens when he does next week give her the 100 dinars?
She gives the watch.
She gives the watch back. Because that was a condition. It was a conditional marriage, right? I'm giving you for 100. Here's the collateral. But right now, they're not married. What if he comes next week and gives her the 100? Then they're married. He says, I'm getting married for 100, and here's the collateral. But are they married today?
No.
They're not married today. What if a week later, he'll say, you know what, I don't have the 100. I guess you can keep the collateral. Are they married? No, because what was the verbal marriage based on? The 100. She can keep the collateral all right. She can keep the collateral all right. You know, she said, listen, I could have married Chaim Yankel, who was going to China last week. Maybe that's the only reason he did it, to make sure he doesn't marry Chaim Yankel. He can still think about it. You know, people like to tie people down and let them think about it, and then they ask them to dump them out. You understand? So then he comes weekly, you know, I'm sorry, I don't have the 100 mana. So he says, great, can I have the watch back? No. That was the collateral. I'm going to make you pay for this, man. You hold me on the line like this and you say, no, I'm keeping the watch. Okay, then let's get married. Well, you never said we're getting married for the watch. You follow? So the 100 was never given. The collateral was never given as the wedding kiddushin thing. So therefore they're not married. The only way they can be married, if he comes later and gives her the 100, then the condition is fulfilled. And she gives the watch back and gives her the 100, and then they're married. But are they married now? And as Larry says, no, she fools around now. Now, although you might have thought, which we're not, at the end of the day, she does have something worth $100. She has something, she could take it to the pawn shop today and get the 100 mana. Doesn't matter. He said, I'm going to marry you with 100 mana. Not something worth 100 mana, not with this watch worth, Now you have to understand, why did he not want to give her the watch? Well, either because he never planned on marrying her, or it has sentimental value. He doesn't want to have that watch, but he has to give her something to hold on. But he does not want to give her that watch as the kiddushin. So even if he doesn't give the 100 and she keeps the watch, not married, because he never planned on giving her that watch as the kiddushin. So we're stuck. We ain't got 100. And the mashkin, now the commentaries like are disturbed. The word mashkin, ain kan, literally isn't a good expression. Mona ain kan, there isn't 100. That for sure there isn't 100 here. Now to say the words mashkin, ain kan, there is no mashkin, the literal translation doesn't fit because there is a mashkin here. You have to add like there's no mashkin here for marriage. In other words, there's no mona here to physically make the marriage. There's no mashkin here that's been expressed as the marriage item here. But there is a mashkin here. There is a physical mashkin. It's not a mashkin that will affect marriage. That is the opinion of Rav Nachman. Clear? Everyone understands why that type of clothes were.
I mean, what he could have really done is just pawned the watch and given it the 100.
Well, I guess he didn't. Now we're going to move. Now Amor is going to ask a question from another case of security, where we see it is a good kiddushin. Gemara thinks it's a question to not come up. So I ask Rav Nachman, says, can you marry a woman with a security? The answer we say is no. Right? But now Gemara is going to show a brisa where you can marry a woman with a security. That's going to be the question. And then we're going to have to try to figure out how the case is different, that it doesn't pose a question.
You said I'm marrying you with a security.
Hang on. Esavei Rav Rav Nachman. Rav asks the question of Rav Nachman now. Look, there's a brisa says, and brisa is cryptic. Prices are cryptic. It says, Kitcha b'mashkin mikudeshes. If a man marries a woman with a mashkin, mikudeshes. It is a good kiddushin. That's against what Rav Nachman said. Rav Nachman says you give her the mashkin, it's not a kiddushin. Here you are giving the mashkin, it is a good kiddushin. Right? So it's a contradiction. So now what Rav Nachman's gonna answer is, well, the cryptic price could maybe be a different scenario entirely of a mashkin, not like our mashkin scenario, and that's gonna be his answer. Hasam, with everybody, the brisa, it's a different kind of a mashkin. But mashkin dacherim, it's a mashkin on someone else. Meaning to say, our groom, what he did, he had a business deal before he even got to this woman. He lent another man, before he meets this woman, let me do this marriage, he lent the man $100. And he only lent it him if the guy would give him a mashkin. So now the guy gives him a mashkin. So now the groom has a watch. Not his watch. Somebody else's watch. And he's got it. The guy still has time to pay, whatever. Right? Now he turns around and takes the watch. He gives it to the woman and says, I am marrying you with this mashkin. Not 100 mana. With this mashkin. Now the Bryce just says, if you marry a woman with a mashkin, you're Mekadeshes. When Rava asked the question, he thought it was the exact case of Rav Nachman's case. But now, three words, because we could say it's this case. The man had a previous business dealing. He lent money to somebody. He received a mashkin. Now he wants to marry this woman. He says, oh my goodness, what do you want to get married for? 100 mona? I don't have 100 mona, but I got a watch worth 100. Will you take this watch? He says, yeah, I'll take the watch worth 100. I'll pawn it. It's not a problem. But it really isn't his watch, but it's a mashkin. So he said, I'm marrying you with this mashkin. He's telling her, this is a mashkin. I have somebody else that's a mashkin. Right? And he gives it to her. It is that he's suggesting that would be a good marriage. Now, let's just take a look at this note here. What happens if a loan is not paid?
He keeps the watch.
Look at two. If a loan is not eventually paid, the creditor has a right to keep an item given as collateral indefinitely. The collateral can thus be said to represent the money of the loan. And Rabbi Yitzchak deduces, we'll see in a minute, from Scripture, that it is viewed to be owned by the creditor until the debtor redeems it. Here's the point. We see in a minute that when you give somebody a mashkin as a collateral, the lender owns the collateral from the moment you give it to him. Now that's an insight. I might have said he doesn't own it. He keeps it away from you. Let's analyze. When you borrow $100 from me and you give me a collateral, what's the status of the collateral? There's two ways I could look at it. We could say the collateral still belongs to the original owner, but guess what? I got something. I'm not going to let him have what's his till he gives me my 100. But I don't have it.
It's called ransom.
Exactly. So do we look at collateral as a ransom, as a halakhically permitted ransom? Or do we say, no, now you gave me the collateral is mine. It is mine. Now, when you pay me back, I give it back to you. But until you pay me back, it's mine. So what happens if the guy doesn't pay back? Let's look at it both ways. If it's a ransom, so it's a ransom, I never give back to you. But it's really never mine. Or, no, it was mine once I got it. I'd have to give it back to you if you pay. So you didn't pay, it's mine. So how do we look at it? So we're going to see in a minute, we look at it the second way. When you take a collateral, he's going to bring a proof from the Torah that it's yours. So now, the fact that the groom has a collateral of somebody else, who owns the collateral? The groom owns it. He owns it. That's something, it's a one. And now he gives it to the woman with this collateral. I'm not fooling. It's not mine. It's a collateral. She knows the collateral. Does this collateral have real value? Absolutely has real value.
Until you get paid back.
Because he owns it. She owns it now. She owns it now. But that is worth, now she knows one thing. She's either, he didn't say, I'm giving you this watch that's mine. Because that would be, then she only wanted the watch. He told her it's a collateral. But that collateral is worth cash. It's worth cash either if it's not paid back, she keeps it. If it is paid back, you get the value of the collateral anyway. So therefore, since it's saying I want to marry you with this collateral, so that has been kept. She has the collateral. She has whatever the collateral is going to be worth. She knew that when she accepted it. So right now, what does she have right now on the moment of the Kiddushin? She has a collateral. Is a collateral worth money? Yep. Now, maybe she'll have to give it back, but she knows she'll have to give it back, but she's willing to take the collateral as is or what it will become as 100 later.
Can she pawn it?
Which is not, well, you can't pawn a collateral even if you're the owner, you can't pawn it. If you're the lender, it's mine, but to the extent that if he pays me back, I give it back to him. It has to be available to return, but I am the owner of it. I am the owner of it. I can't put in a state where he can never get it back, but I'm the owner of it. So she knows she's taking that under those circumstances. No one's fooling her. So it is, here's the bottom line. Does she have something worth money in her hand or not?
Yes.
Absolutely. Would you like to, if I had a collateral, I said, Paul, I like you here. This is a collateral, and whatever comes out of it, you're going to get. You'd be very happy to take that collateral. Either you got a watch or you get $100. So this woman, he didn't say, I'm giving you $100 and here's the collateral instead of $100. He's saying, I'm giving you a collateral to marry you on a collateral. So does she not have something worth money? Is this exactly what he promised her? Yes. Does she understand that maybe in the future she'll have to give it back, she'll get $100 instead? Yes. So that's the case, and that's why he's allowed to be married. That's why it works. Now how do we know? Now this only makes sense if the lender is the owner of the collateral. If the lender is not the owner of the collateral, then what did he give her? A ransom. You can't marry someone with a ransom. Yeah. This is why we need the next step now. Ukad Reb Yitzchak. And this is all going according to Reb Yitzchak's position, which maybe there could be a machlokas on this, but Reb Yitzchak holds like this. The Amar Reb Yitzchak. Reb Yitzchak says, Minayin, how do we know? Labal Kov Shekoinem Ashken. How do we know that a creditor becomes the owner of the collateral? That's to say, how do we know that a creditor is the owner of the collateral? Shenemar, because remember we learned in the Torah, if a guy gives a collateral his garment, right? His pajamas. What's the halacha when it's nighttime? Give it back. Now, what would we call the giving back? We call, well, it's just giving back the ransom that you have. Or would you call it a philanthropic act? Well, let's see what the Torah calls it. Shenemar, it says, Ulecha tiye tzedakah. It is a merit, it is righteousness, it's charity on your part.
Yeah, it's kindness.
Now, wait a minute. If it's a ransom, how could we say letting him use it for the night is a kindness? You only give him back what's his. But if you say, I own it, if I own it, now I'm doing a kindness. If I own it, how come I have to give it back to him at night? Well, you're doing a kindness. We're telling you to do a kindness. So that's what he's saying. The Torah is saying it is a kindness. So, im, what happened? Oh, gosh. I hate when that happens. Here. So, im ain't a kindness. If he doesn't really acquire the collateral when he has it, So tzedakah minayin. So how do you know it's, why would the Torah call it a charity? Must be reproof from this, that mikam abakov shechana mashken, that we see from here that the owner of the collateral, he is, that the guy who lends, who has a collateral, he is the owner. So now we've answered the question. Rav Nachman's original statement is, the guy says, here's a hundred, here's a, I'm going to get married to you for a hundred. And here's the collateral in his place is not a good kedushin, because he didn't give her the hundred, and the collateral is not being given as a wedding gift. So that doesn't work. I have Bryce says you can use a collateral. That's a third person collateral, where the husband gives her not a collateral on what he promises her, but a real collateral that he owns. And now that he gives it to her, she has something real that he promised. The collateral is what I want to marry you with, and that's what he gave her. That has a financial value. Now that only works if you hold like Rabbi Yitzchak that says if you take a collateral, you are the owner of the collateral. Yeah.
So two questions. Didn't we learn the laws of the shomer that when you take a collateral, you're a shomer? So if you're a shomer, you don't own anything. You're just a guardian.
No, you have... you have the responsibilities of a shomer, but you're not 100% only a shomer. In other words, I am considered an owner, and I have to take good care of it because you can get it back.
It's the level of care.
Since it's the level, if you say I just owed it, then I don't have to give it. But it's a collateral. You, listen, buddy, you're going to have to give this back if he pays the money. You're an owner, but not 100% owner. You know, you're an owner, and part of your ownership means you got to give it back to him the way you have it now. That's part of the terms of the ownership.
If I own something...
it depends. If I sell you something, I say, I'm selling to you under these conditions, and you accept these conditions. I'm selling it to you for a year, and you're the full owner for a year, but I want to get it back the way it is. No, I'm selling it to you. You're the owner. You're the owner. That's the way a collateral, that's Rabbi Yitzchak's Kiddush in the halach here. He's saying, you are the owner, but you've got to give it back. No, it's because it's not a regular case of outright sale. It's a case of collateral. You know, what are you going to say? Well, you know, let's say give a bull as a collateral. Oh, it's not my bull. What are you talking about? It's not your bull. You're the owner right now. You got to watch it. You can't say you're not the owner.
You can benefit from it.
You can do anything. But no one thing. At the end of the day, you got to give it back. You give it back at the end. If he pays you, you got to give it back. That's the chiddush. You could say, I'm not the owner. I don't have to bother with it. I don't have to worry about it.
If I own something and I lose it, my problem.
So it's an ownership that comes with a string attached. That's all.
So the second question is, what's the difference if the guy says, I'll marry you with 100 dinar, and here's collateral. It's his own collateral. He's giving it something.
Well, that was the case.
No, this is somebody else's collateral.
Yeah, well, what you're asking was the first case.
Right, but we're saying that these aren't the same.
It isn't, because the first case, I'm saying I want to marry you with only this, 100 mana.
And here's collateral.
Okay, but he didn't give her the 100 mana yet. Did he say I'm marrying you with the collateral?
Then it's the same.
But he can't give her a collateral if he's the one who owns the collateral. If he owns, if he keeps it.
He said, I'm going to marry you for 100 dinar and here's the collateral.
Okay, so fine. So when you give me the 100 dinar, I'll be married to you because that's what you married me with.
And in the second case, he's giving somebody else's collateral.
And I own it now. Since I have the collateral, I'm the owner of the collateral.
He's saying here, marry me with this watch.
When you say marry with his watch, he keeps the watch, never gives it back. Here it's a collateral that he is the owner of. That's
a watch for collateral.
What?
He has a watch for collateral.
So from somebody else.
Yeah, so he gives her this.
And he says, I want you to know, this is a watch that I have as a collateral for somebody else. I am halakhically considered the owner, and I know the law is, if he doesn't pay me back, I keep it. If he pays back, it's worth 100. I'm giving it to you, and you understand that that's what you're getting right now. So saying, fine. So right now I got the watch. If that watch turns into $100, it turns into $100. What would be different than, let's say, a guy gives her a piece of paper that says 100 shares of AT&T? Right? Not cashable until next week. Well, is she willing to take that? What if AT&T drops? But she knows AT&T can drop. And it's still okay. So he gave a real thing. Okay, we're not quite finished with
the sugya.
Then it's a serious problem. then the husband is going to owe money, and she's going to owe to the husband. That's going to make it complicated. It's going to make it complicated. Okay. It's good you put your phone on first.
Mine's off. My phone's off. It's on silence.